So, I think we are on FM now. Greetings to Leipzig from Chaos Communication Camp. I'm talking right now. And I'm talking with another moderator.
I'm Terrell McMahon from SitesCollide.com. Thanks for having me here.
You are from Poland?
Yes, I'm from Poland.
And you want to ask us something about our mesh network or something about our radio?
Yes, in fact, I'm interested, very interested to find out about how Freifunk came into being and how that's organized. But first I would like to know a little bit more about maybe the technical aspect. And then for the listeners that are listening on the radio and the podcast, just to understand how they could do something like this on their own, if they're thinking about it.
And we have Bluse from Freifunk Sundhausen here.
Hello, that's me.
Sundhausen is a small village also.
Yeah, quite a small village in the middle of Germany, having Freifunk using them. It's 40 households, so not that big as the cities around me, but still there. No.
Okay, you said you had around 42 nodes, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. How did it start? What gave you the idea? Like one day you just woke up and you said, I'm going to start a mesh network. How did it happen?
Okay, the idea, let's say, was the need of getting some kind of broadband internet to our village. We just 2 years ago, could use the modem and the DSL. So a kind of broadband internet just was available in the city, 8 kilometers far away. Mm. And the wireless stuff was the only chance. Let's try if we can get such a connection to that point and then share this in our village. And now, let's say, it took half a year. Mm. The motivation was big. You suffer from modem, so you try everything to get a bigger, faster download. And let's say since the middle of 2005, we are growing and using a broadband internet via wireless.
Okay.
That was the biggest motivation.
Okay. So, it started out with just yourself and a few friends, sounds like?
Right. We started with 3 nodes. Testing, a friend of mine and I. And at the beginning, we, let's say, after 2-3 months, we were about 10 nodes, only connected to an intranet without having this broadband link to the city next to us. So mostly the older people wasn't interested in having such a wireless intranet village LAN. Only the younger guys played with that, played games, shared music videos. But since we established this far connection, and the internet, as checking emails, as doing the bank stuff and Google, everything you don't know. Then also, let's say, people up on 40 years decided, that's interesting, we want to have a node on our roof. So
okay, so they saw the practical point. Well, let's talk about the hardware a little bit. I noticed that some of the stuff, it looks like there are some Linksys boxes here that you have.
Yep.
You're using a lot of different software. So explain to us, what software you used in the beginning, and how did it change? What are you using now?
I think UFO is the best man to...
Yeah. Okay. In Leipzig we have very many nodes, 600 at this time. And we are starting with Linksys, WRT455G and GS, and now GL. And my newest hardware thing is the Asus 500 Premium. It has an USB host. And we are playing some hours ago with the audio input and output, and so you can put this thing in your kitchen and play internet radio without a computer, for instance. And I think this hardware will be the best for you. And G-Link doesn't work, and many other hardware also. No. And so we have the Was heißt hier gleiche Hardware?
Same.
We have the same kind of hardware at every node, and it's very easy to administrate it, and are looking for errors also. Yeah.
It's called Freifunk.
Yeah.
It means in English.
Free radio.
Yeah.
Free radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is important because it's free, as in that it's open for anyone to join.
Yeah. It's not secured. Normally, yeah.
No encryption.
It's just every node enhance or make the wireless cloud bigger in the sense of their range and transmit area.
Yeah. Okay, so how does the... Now, each of these devices, it usually has one antenna on the back of it, and it's for transmitting and receiving. So how does one device transmit and receive with many nodes, not just one other node, but many other nodes at the same time? How does it work?
Yeah. I can show you our routing table. We have a web interface on every access point. And we have a proactive routing protocol, OLSR, or Batman.
Batman.
And this thing is checking out how to see each other node, and the routes are set.
Okay, so you've customized the firmware a little bit, but it's it's based on OpenWRT, is that right?
It's based on OpenWRT, and the Berlin people from Freifunk are making the whole Freifunk firmware, and we are in Leipzig, are using that as a standard and making more improvements.
Okay.
For instance, better handling for internet beginners. Also, we have an IP wizard.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the camp, we just every node has only one number you're putting in, and all IP addresses also are ausgerechnet.
Calculated.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So actually, every node can only arrive the one hop neighbors. Normally, just say I can talk to you and to you, and all the other stuff like I will talk to him. Yeah. That means you should get my package and then send to him. But it's not interesting actually for you. The package is done by all this routing stuff and mesh thinking of. So every node is like an access point. Can receive and can transmit. That's the, let's say, one of the ideas of this ad hoc networking.
And that's also an important thing, that if everyone wanted to start with mesh, you should you don't buy one access point or two, you have to buy four or five, and then you can test, and then it will be very good.
Okay, we talked about the hardware, a little bit about the technology. Let's talk about the people side of it. How did you find the people? How did you get organized? And right now, Freifunk, how are you keeping it together? In other words, how's it working from the social part?
Yeah, we have a meeting every week, and some people also sitting here on this table are coming every Thursday. And very many people who want to get informed about the network are coming and asking some things, or want to get the links is flashed also, so we can do it. It's very easy, but the first time it's we can show it to the people. So.
Okay. How did you find original people to come to the meetings? I mean, was it just a friend or two friends or something? Or did you just
long, the work? Long process, but 1 or 2 years, and there are some people in the town who are also very interested in this network, and I found them, or we found us.
They found you?
No, we found us. So if you have a great town, there are many Wi-Fi interested people or free networkers, and with such a project like Freifunk, there's a possibility to join all the people in one group.
Okay.
And also the people who only want to get into internet, for instance, they are joining our network. They are also part of the network.
Have you done marketing on any of this, like some kind of advertisements or signs around town? Or
no, we have a radio show like now.
On this one.
Yeah, greet to Leipzig. Hi.
Hello, everyone.
No, the people are talking about it. Also at the club, at the toilet. Hey, you have Freifunk. Yeah.
So it's mostly just word of mouth.
Yeah, word of mouth. I mean, in the village. Yeah. We got Brockham, Inkenet, and so all come to me. We want this. Yeah? Yeah. I mean, in a bigger city, you have a nice wiki. We don't have even a wiki.
Yeah. We need the wiki and the organization.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the recent changes in the wiki are every day some notes are
coming, going,
or coming and going. And
so the wiki is the central point of contact for this. This is what this is the glue that holds the organization together from day to day.
In a big town, yeah. In a big town.
It's difficult. We have also a chat, Jabo chat, and we have news groups. Very interesting for the people.
So you have your own servers and things on the network.
Yeah, a little bit. We have our own servers in the internet, and we have also a server in the in our town, in the Freifunk network. So everybody who has a Linux server can join the Freifunk, and everybody can access to the server. Then.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, we have many new servers, and they are synced, for instance.
For backup reasons?
Yeah, for instance. So. Hmm.
What about the... I wanted to actually ask about, as far as the people go, are there any problems with support, things like that, or is it people pretty much get along, or how does that work?
That's, yeah, that's kind of funny. Problem. If I go to one person or so and I'm setting up an access point, he will phone me if he has any problems. So Florian, for instance, hi Flo, has called me and asked me, hey, my internet doesn't go, so I've said it, go to the neighbor below you and check the network cables, start the access point new and then have a look again. But the people who get interested in the project and starting itself, yourself, no, himself, themselves.
It's not that hard work.
Yeah.
If you are like technical interested, so you can change parameters, do things.
Definitely.
Understandable. Yeah. Because they, I think, in a big city, even the Leipzig Freifunk is doing a good work for making things easy. Making things easy, because if it's not easy, the customer comes to us, but it's not really a customer because he doesn't pay money on this. So to get all this, what do I first, the entrance threshold should be as low as it can be. You buy the hardware, agree with the sense of having a node consuming some electricians, and here we go. Yeah? Here I am.
You guys have both started your own nodes in or mesh network in your own areas.
Yeah.
What advice can you give someone? What can you tell them not to do in the beginning? I'm sure you made many mistakes or something. So
yeah.
Share with the listeners and help them if they're thinking about doing it. What can you tell them
one.
Don't do it? What can you tell them not to do?
Okay, for me, just speaking for Bluesen now, the let's say the most biggest recommendation I would give you is to start with the first node. Yeah, I got some cities I was around, and they sit together, talked how we can implement this, how we can do this, how we can do this. Give a shit on planning big projects. The biggest projects start with the first step. So just get a node, try this, read a bit around, put a firmware on it. And it's not more that complicated like 2 years ago, before.
It's
quite easier. So just start, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. What's a website? Can you give them address of a website to find some good information or to find the firmware? Where can they go?
Okay, maybe UFO?
Where can they go?
Okay, for the Polish people, it should be Polish or English?
English.
English is most...
No, it's a little bit difficult.
but you can use www.freifunk.net or leipzig.freifunk.net, but it's in German.
It's most likely in German, yeah.
Okay, now for you, about the recommendations, do you have something that you would recommend that they do that maybe you didn't think of at first?
I think people should don't power off their access points, also when they are playing. Yeah. That this ID is present in the Wi-Fi and other people can scan it with the laptops and inform about the network. And the network name, the BSID, should be internet address. Mm-hmm. So that you see it in the WLAN scan, and you can put it on the browser. Mm-hmm. So Leipzig.freifunk.net.
Yeah, that's quite a good idea.
So the node address is, or the DNS address is the same as the SSID?
Yeah.
Not DNS, but the W.
Yeah, it's okay.
The URL. Web server.
Yeah. So that everybody, scans the air, sees, oh, network, it's www.freifunk.net. Well, let's look, what's that, yeah? So, it's easy to get in. Yeah, but that's a good recommendation, yeah.
So, sometimes it's so that many people in one town are waiting for the other people. They have to start. So some people wait. We start when the other people start. That's wrong.
Yeah. Just start. Okay. Yeah. Now, there's some people that have a kind of objection to this. They say that doing these kind of networks, it interferes with other people that want to use Wi-Fi on their own. It's not a good idea. Something like that. What do you say to someone who's sort of against this sort of thing, or they're against the free network?
I have to get the pizza, so bye-bye.
Hey,
what he's saying is, now, you guys had a different motivation, because you showed me, and we have a new guest here.
Yeah, Klossi.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Klossi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, and glad to have you here on Sites Collide and on...
UFO from Leipzig.
Leipzig. I'm sorry, I can't say it correctly, so everyone out there in Radio Land's laughing.
No worries.
You showed me an excellent map of the area where you lived, and you explained to me something about the physical limitation of getting internet. Could you explain that a little bit to our listeners? Like, what you had a more practical reason for doing this, not just for fun. About the fiber and...
Yeah. In East Germany, and especially the area where we live in Leipzig, there's on the telecommunications market map, you have some white areas which are not covered because they have been very clever in the 90s in saying, okay, we make a very clever move. We rip all the the copper out and put fiber everywhere.
Because fiber is the future.
Fiber
is the future.
Yes, everybody believed fiber is the future. And yeah,
for 30 years.
And some years later, they decided, or within the process of exchanging copper to fiber, they decided to not go for the fiber VDSL. They decided to take the core technology ADSL, which is based on copper, which then means that half of East Germany was, till yet, some parts are not covered, not able to get broadband. So we had a very, very large, huge problem in the last mile, which means not everybody can connect, even if they want to pay, even if they can pay. So there was two motivations, delivering internet via Freifunk. Freifunk has many more motivations, but two motivations to deliver internet, which is A, the digital divide in our society, which is caused by, classes in society, and education and things like this, and the other like the copper, which was missing. So
technical limitation,
yeah. Just they ripped it off, and totally stupid, they now putting it back in the streets.
That was really nice and thoughtful of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, clever move, eh?
Yeah.
We have mailing lists, and we are talking about when do they work and which street.
So it wasn't that big of an issue that you should put a wiki up about it, right?
Sure.
Yeah, a little bit.
No, but your question before was about people who have objections or concerns about community wireless projects.
Yeah.
which is no objection at all in my in my eyes, because you have a shared medium which is free for everybody.
Yeah.
And this shared resource is limited by frequency. So you have only 13 channels in or 12 or 13 channels, mm-hmm. depending in which country you live and how the regulations are. And but it's still at least three or four non-overlapping channels, yeah. non-disturbing each other. And Freifunknet is running on only one channel, which means there's enough space
our in, the, Freifunknet. In
our Freifunknet. Our yeah. Freifunknet. Basically, Freifunk should
Freifunk.
Yeah, yeah. should stay on a channel to not use a shared common resource too excessive.
Wow.
And but we are using just one channel, and everybody who is interested can join and can help bridging digital divide, can help empowering local communities, can help making a different vision of networking happen, and everybody else can use different, or can even use the same, but it's disturbing each other by just physics. So, and there's nothing to do about it. And even if, well, we share the same frequency band with microwave ovens, and
yes.
if you have,
yes,
if you can imagine,
it's
6 p.m. and a couple of grandmas just putting their microwave ovens on, and there's no wireless coverage in that area then because of the microwave ovens. So it's shared even by lore. So there's nothing you can take away from somebody else. So
okay, that's a very good point. What about the response from the community? Like, have there been any negative responses from the community against that, or any kind of like laws that they're trying to tell you that you're violating a law by putting an antenna on, or something like that? Have you come across any kind of problems like that?
Nah, not really. Just there's been little quirks. If you work with a lot of people and everybody with slightly different opinions and ways of life and views to the world, things may happen between humans. That's a common thing. And yeah, there have been some people walking on other people's roofs, and they were not too happy about that. But if you talk about that, everything gets solved. But there was nothing so far I heard as a totally bummer or contrapoint about free networks themselves. No.
That's great. It sounds like to me that it's actually helping neighbors to build up relationships, because they have the chance to go down to the next house or the next
yeah.
place and say, hey, I notice you have an antenna on your house. What is it
happens.
All about?
Yeah, that's actually what happens. People start to, in the first place, they join a technical project and they are scared a little because it looks complicated and it's hard to understand what technically happens and why all these guys doing this, and if it's really for free, or if there's if it's really true that it's free as in freedom. And no, but in the end, it turns out that people really start to talk to neighbors and to it's well, let's say 30%. For the feeling, 30% or 40% of the project is technically, and the rest is on the social layer. It's layer 8. It's a real layer 8 project. People talk to each other. People have to solve problems in a special technical manner with each other, and they even a community has to solve broader issues as a community, which makes it very interesting how decision processes are done, or who does what and why and for which reasons, and if it's requested by somebody else. And there's been a lot of people talking about, well, the decision-making process is not perfect by now. Shouldn't we have a look in how communities like Wikipedia do their decision processes by discussions and by letting everybody tell their opinion? We have to have a little more pragmatic approach, because needs have to get solved in nearly zero time sometimes, because there's a technical problem. And a large part of the user base is not interested too much into technical problems, so they even don't want to get asked about. So a group of people who takes care of a problem decides then as caretakers how it got to be done.
How does the administration part of this come in? I mean, is it a very heavy task to do this, and does it require a lot of time, and who's doing it? Is it just sort of running autonomously?
Both. It is running
both?
Both. It's running okay. autonomously because there's a lot of people who own just their node and who don't have to take too much care about to bring on better antennas, and if their complete neighborhood is connected, and a very, let's say this is a singular having a single node and a single connection, helping the network to grow. That's a good point. And there are other people who take care about long-range connections, about certain areas, or if the next street is connected as well, or if we can make better
servers also.
Building up servers as well. This would have been the next point I'm talking about, but like infrastructure-wise, which area to cover, how to make long shots in a different area, and how to connect the community. So it's a depends on the point of view the individual has to the community project itself. And there's people who are very, very heavily involved and who are having a number of nodes, like from 10 to 20, which they take care of because they know how to do it and they have fun doing it. And running servers and services and improving it by making back-end technology for it. But that's more a... that's an interest group of us, I would say. It's a nerdy thing somehow. It's more technology based and driven by motivation of a creative approach to technology, a creative reuse, disuse, misuse, abuse, as I always say, of what producers of hardware thought their products might have been used.
That's sort of interesting, though. These products have found a new life, way beyond what the original designers thought.
Well, I would go further. I would say they got freed.
That's a good point.
We freed them.
I like that. I like that better, actually.
Because it's just plain hardware. It's a. It has no purpose by being a hardware. Mm-hmm. It has functions and limits,
right.
Physically and technically, mm-hmm. but it has no purpose. Making a software for a piece of hardware is defining a purpose, and usually hardware vendors tend to define purposes which generate a useful product, a successful commercially product, and as well a chance for a successor of this product. So that means that you take some parts of the functionality of the hardware in their software to have a next generation product which brings better use of the same hardware, and they call it different, and it's the same thing in the end. So it's limitation physics by commercial interest, and what free software can do in that moment is just taking all the functionality which is in and trying to make as much use out of it as possible.
Where do you see this technology going in the future? I mean, right now we're just talking about just surfing the internet, maybe doing some simple file sharing. Where do you think this is going in the future? What do you think it has to do with the local community?
There's two things to say about future. One thing is nobody knows what happens in the broadband and telecommunication market within the next years. It could be that by a new technology for a really good price, even for free maybe, that everybody is connected then, and that there's no more use of these kind of networks, which I doubt, but it's possible. And
it's possible. We learned that here at CCC.
Yeah, daily, hourly. And the other thing is that I believe that there will be a growth and a expansion of content in local communities, and people will, as soon as kind of mesh networking is running on way more devices than just little routers, which are limited by CPU or limited by memory or flash. If it's running on way more devices, there's way more different uses possible. And as long as people keep in mind, if they think technology content technology for mesh networks, that the whole idea is based on decentralization, there will be a lot of very interesting features, a lot of very, very fascinating technologies and possibilities. connecting people locally, making connections which are useful for people using communication technology in their day life.
You mentioned, you said decentralized. It's sort of a buzzword nowadays with decentralization of a lot of things. Why is that part important in the technology part of it, you think? It's not traditional way of doing networking at all. I mean, we're thinking about point-to-point for years, and now you have something that's point-to-multipoint, and some people don't understand that.
The point is the whole idea of the meshing, as we do it, is based on a non-hierarchy, because every node, every piece of hardware is equal to each other piece of hardware, which has the limitation of there's no governor who decides technology-wise, I mean this, who decides if things go wrong, where to go, what to do. But it has the total plus of having an infrastructure of equality where you can take every node out of or bring every other node in. So it's a self-constructing network based on a decentralized and non-hierarchical hardware situation. And if we do that as well on the software side, if we do that as well as, let's say, on the content side, on the content distribution side, on the search engines side, on the localization side, on whatever technological or, well, Web 2.0 kind of thing you can imagine, like community software or useful web software, web technology, can be seen decentralized as well and developed decentralized as well. And then you get a totally different type of a content network. And that's what's going to happen within the next years, I believe.
That's great. Well, again, I'm looking for some, just for the listeners, some links, maybe that I ask some other people the same question, but what were some of the links and some of the things that you had read as far as books or anything to help users to create this sort of thing or to get up to speed on anything, on any part of this mesh networking?
Is this anything? If I could recommend literature?
Yeah, literature or websites.
There's at first, the freifunk.net wiki, which is unfortunately, huge parts are still not completely localized. It's huge parts still in German.
Okay.
But there's work done, community takes care. Right. And if there are people who would be willing to translate, please show up and help us. Then we can make all the information we learned within the last 5 years publicly available in all languages we can possibly. And further, there's a book on which is also as well on a website which has the same name. It's the Wireless Networking. Daniel, what was the
by Rob Flickinger? Community Wireless
Networks.
Yes, it's Networks?
Community Wireless Networks. No. It's Electra and WNDW. Wireless Networking in Developing Countries. WNDC.net. WNDW.net?
World.
Yeah. Wireless networking in the lab of the world.
Okay.
And there's even a this covers the basics of wireless with easy to understand descriptions of hardware, software, radio frequency, Freifunk firmware, the basis of antennas, the basis of meshing. And there's even a second book in that line. It's about traffic shaping, it's about how to handle data in bandwidth limited conditions. And it has also four letters and also a four-letter .net domain, but I always forget that one. You can find the link on WNDW.net as well.
Okay, thanks. I want to thank both of you for...
But I have to say something.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Don't read too much books, too much administration literature. Only just buy some notes and take a firmware. It's in English also available and try it.
Even more, English, Spanish, French are the basis languages which in which the firmware is available, and it's Well, all this network happened only because people said, well, let's try it. Don't believe the academic world who said ages and ages and ages again and again that mesh networking does not work because they tested it in their network simulators and it never works and it never works. And I even heard that one in a lecture of my professor. Mesh networking is just theory, will never work. Went home, clicked on my oldest R node, seen 50 nodes exchanging roads, and was thinking like, well, he's not right, it's working. It's just about trying it, and if it doesn't work, make it work.
Fantastic. I want to thank both of you for taking time out of the CCC camp to be with me and talk about this on Sites Collide. If anyone's listening and you're interested...
That's the website of your project? Mm-hmm.
Yes, if anyone's listening and interested about listening to my podcast, I'll welcome you to listen. It's in English, but it is very international and it's very much about open source. It's available at www.sitescollide.com and it's spelled SITESCOLLIDE, sitescollide.com, and you can get it many ways. If you're using Linux or BSD, you can use wget. You can get the MP3 files from the page. If you're using Windows or iTunes,
podcast for
you can just subscribe to it. I would love if you subscribe to it, even if you're on Linux. It will help me.
Huh?
I'm really trying to build this up. So far, we've got a lot of guests from the OpenBSD group. I think you'll be interested in listening to them speak about open source routing, some security issues, not necessarily just from BSD or OpenBSD, but just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Also have some interesting things on there as well that you'll find kind of fun. Things such as Project Gutenberg,
mm-hmm.
Book Crossing, we have them on there as well. Just generally, technically interesting things. You don't have to be a computer nerd or a hacker to understand it. We're trying to make something for everyone, sort of. And that's what we like to do.
Thanks for interviewing us, and sounds like a very good project, sitescollide.com.
.com, yes.
Don't forget, sitescollide.com. And
we'll have a link at our website.
Yeah, great,
thank you.
And
I'll do the same.
Thank you very much for showing up in our show as
all
well.
Right. It was great, the opportunity to do this, not only just internationally, sort of trading interviews and just being here. It's exciting to be here on live streaming radio, on FM, and on the internet.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Tyrell, thank you. Good luck. Take care.
Okay, thanks.
Oops, I'll call my mic.